You can find this podcast and others at Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. We hereby give you episode number 26. Last time we talked about a specific type of lever action rifle, a 357 Magnum with a 16-inch barrel. We also talked about a specific model, the Rossi 92, and why it's worthy of your consideration. For the price, it's pretty hard to beat if you want a good 357 Magnum lever gun. But there's an issue. Even a relatively less expensive quality lever gun is pretty darn useless without ammo, right? No ammo, no gun. Isn't that how Senator Ted Kennedy put it back in the 70s? Well, ammo availability is starting to get better. Yeah, that's true. But 357 Magnum ammunition's never been exactly cheap, let's face it. And that's still true now. So, let's talk about that. See, I believe a quality, affordable firearm needs quality, affordable ammo. That's why I promised we'd talk about it in the next episode. This was the last time, and guess what? Now's that time. We're going to talk about reloading both .38 Special and .357 Magnum rounds for this rifle. Sure, you've seen both myself and my camera lady, Miss BHC, stands for Bleeding Heart Conservative. You've seen us reloading .38 Special before on the videos. Well, guess what? All that still applies. It's just that we're going to talk about reloading with specifically lever-action rifles in mind. Now, here's one thing that you've got to think about. One thing you've always got to remember. Unless you're talking about something like a Savage Model 99 or a Ruger Model 96, which is just Ruger's copy of the Savage 99 design, virtually every lever-action rifle out there is going to have what's called a tubular magazine. And no, I ain't talking the California meaning there, dudes. I mean the part that holds the rounds. The magazine is literally a tube. This is the classic Henry/Winchester design from the 19th century. If you've ever seen a pump-action rifle, shotgun, for example, Remington 870, Mossberg 500, heck, Winchester 1300, it's the exact same thing, just size for 357 Magnum rounds. Marlin's Model 60 semi-auto rifle in 22LR, which is also still produced today, also has a tubular magazine. Same idea. Now, why does that matter? Well, basically, that means you load up the rounds one behind the other. Here's why it matters. The bullet of the rear round is pushing on the case head of the one in front of it. And with exactly one exception, that's why we cannot use pointed bullets in tubular magazines. What's going on? Think about it for a moment. The bullet from the rear round is shoving on the case head of the round right in front of it. What else is in a case head, folks? Yeah, this little thing called the primer. Yeah. Now, we know that a properly seated primer is supposed to sit just below flush of the case head, right? Well, if that bullet behind it happens to be pointed, that point's going to sit right on the primer. What do primers do when a sharp point hits it? Say, under recoil and the gun starts moving. Yeah, doesn't paint a pretty picture, does it? And that's why there are all these warnings about using pointed bullets in tubular magazines. I mentioned there was one exception. Here it is. The sole exception is Hornady's relatively new FTX bullets. Those are the ones using their Lever Revolution ammunition, but that's the only exception. So, basically, the rule is use flat point bullets in your tubular magazines so they don't be sitting on the primer. Fortunately, we've got an assortment of flat points to choose from. The various hollow points are excellent. The round nose flat points are also fine choices, and that's what I mostly use. And, of course, you can't go around with a good old semi-wad cutter, and that's the other type that I use now. Oh, by the way, cast bullets work really well with lever guns. Just size them right, just like you'd do for your revolver or any other gun. My Rossi happens to light the same exact bullet as my Security 6 does, namely 0.3595 inches in diameter. This is 357 Magnum. Turns out both guns have fairly generous chambers. So I sized in a 0.3595 inch. Very convenient. Bullet lubricant? Liquid Alox works very well. Just be sure to use enough of it. After all, let's face it, remember, you're going down a 16-inch rifle barrel now instead of a 4-inch revolver barrel. Use enough lube. No such thing as too much. It's kind of like a sweat and copper pipe and flux. No such thing as too much. Powder selection. That will depend directly on how much oomph you want in your load. Oh, and by the way, since we're talking about hand loading, well, you can use either 38 Special cases or 357 Magnum cases. That little Rossi will happily digest either one. I know, because I do it on a fairly regular basis. So the rifle's not going to really care which one you use, 38 Special or 357 Magnum case. Of course, it will, however, care that you stay within the max pressure limits of 357 Magnum, just like any other 357 Magnum rated firearm would. It'll also care that you use enough powder to get that bullet to actually exit the barrel reliably. We'll be sure to talk about both of these more as the show goes on. Primers. Doesn't matter which brand you use. They're all good. I've tried just about every brand out there. If you're wondering whether to use regular primers or so-called Magnum primers, well, a lot of people get confused about that. So here's a simple rule that I use that I found works pretty darn well. If you're using, one of three powders, H110, W296, or Lil Gun, yeah, use the Magnum primers. Otherwise, stick with the regular primers. As always, though, check with your reloading manuals and the powder manufacturers. They're your first authority. Now, after we get back from station ID break, we'll get right into 38 Special as applied to the lever gun. See you in just a moment.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
We're back. You know, the 38 Special is really a terrific cartridge. I love it. Seriously. It is. When Smith & Wesson came out with it back in 1900, and by the way, just a historical note, it was 1900 as certified by Roy Jenks, the Smith & Wesson historian. You don't get better than that. When Smith & Wesson did this, they unleashed what has to be one of the most versatile cartridges on the public that's ever been seen before or since. It's been, what, 113 years now since that cartridge first came out? Technically, folks, that's the last year of the 19th century. And even now, the year 2013, the 21st century, it still remains really popular. I've heard people say it's the single most reloaded cartridge in this country, and I believe it. About the only other one I'd imagine would probably come close is the 45 ACP cartridge, which is another terrific round, by the way. Now, since we're talking about hand loading for a non-semi-auto action, lever guns like revolvers are not semi-automatic, well, guess what? That gives us boatloads of flexibility. The action works by the lever, not by recoil or gas operation or anything like that. We do it. So we don't have to worry about cycling the action. That's already done by our hands. Because of that, you can go mild or wild or anywhere in between. In my case, I got two loads. I call them mild and wild for 38 Special. The mild load uses a 105-grain lead semi-wad cutter, specifically Lee's 358-105-SWC's 6-cavity mold. You've seen me use it on the reloading videos. This is a great little bullet, by the way, that does two things. First, it keeps recoil way down. And second, it stretches your supply of lead a long way. Lead is always valuable. Now remember, I cast my own bullets, so that second point matters for me. My powder charge is anywhere between 3.9 to 4.2 grains of Alliant Bullseye powder, depending on my mood. That's what I normally use, Alliant Bullseye. Turns out 4.2 grains of Hodgdon's Tight Group powder also works very well, and that's my backup load when Bullseye's not available. I typically get about 800 feet per second with this load out of the rifle. What's really nice about it in this rifle? Remember, Winchester-style rifles like the Rossi 92 are all metal, it feels just like you're shooting a 22, folks. Oh, and it doesn't sound too different either. Really, this is a fun load to shoot because you can just do it over and over again. Children, I've discovered, handle this load very well. So do new shooters generally. For those of you looking to replicate factory ammo with, oh, we'll say hollow points, you're in luck too. There's a plethora of good hollow points out there. The 125 grain and the 128 grain types are the most popular. Just look in your reloading manuals. You do have your reloading manuals, don't you? And load for them just like you'd load for your revolver. There's also the so-called ball type of bullet, also known as the round nose type. I do know people who use them successfully in tubular magazines with no problems, even though the tip of that round nose bullet does sit on the primer of the cartridge immediately in front of it. Maybe what helps there is that it's blunt instead of sharp like a Spitzer would be. I personally prefer to leave the ball type for the revolver and use flat nose bullets for the lever gun because I'd rather avoid even the probably very slim chance of a chain reaction. Your hollow points, your flat noses, your truncated cones, similar ones, will not have that potential problem. Oh, by the way, the plated bullets, for those who use those, they work very well in these rifles too. I'm talking about Berries, Rainier, similar ones. Of course, if you're a lot richer than I am and you just want to pop for the fancy gold dots, well, hey, go for it. They'll work very well too. Now, here's what you want to avoid. And I'm serious. Pay attention to this particular admonition I'm about to give you here. Avoid this like the plague. Don't go too low with your load. Remember, this ain't a 4-inch barrel revolver. This is a rifle with at least 16 inches of barrel in it. If you go too low, you risk getting what we call a squib. What that means is you don't have enough gunpowder to push the bullet all the way out the barrel. You really don't want that. That's very dangerous. So, how do you avoid that? Well, heck, that's easy. Just don't go below the minimum loads listed in your reloading manual and you're going to be just fine. Remember, you don't have to use minimum 38 special loads either, since Rossi 92s are in fact rated for 357 magnum pressures. Even a max 38 special load will still feel like a pea shooter in that all-metal rifle. Now, since we're talking about just that, a lever gun rated for 357 magnum, we can also go really old school and load the 38 special cartridge to those specs, just like Elmer Keith did back in the day. Yeah, this is what we know of as the original 357 magnum load. It used a 38 special case. This is known as the 38/44 HV for high velocity loading. And yes, Smith & Wesson did make the end frame, the big end frame revolver, in 38/44 HV. I actually have some cases that are head stamped that. Yep. And they are exactly the same dimensions as any other 38 special case. I do, in fact, load them to near full power 357 magnum pressure levels. My loading here is 12 grains of 2400 powder, pushing a 158 grain cast bullet, specifically Lee's 358-158-RF, a round nose flat point style. This is a really fun load. It should be just fine for putting venison on the table within its reasonable range. Now, why don't I just use 357 magnum cases for this? That's an obvious and good question. The answer is ammo capacity of the magazine. If you choose to use 38 special cases, you can physically fit one more round in the tubular magazine, and that's regardless of your charge. So instead of 8 rounds in there, I can safely fit a 9th. Add one more in the chamber, and you have your 9+1 or 10 rounds total. Who knows, you may need that 10th round. One major caution. If you do choose to do this, go real old school and do like Elmer Keith did, of course, please, For the sake of whatever God you may or may not believe in, label that ammo very well, please. You definitely don't want your very seriously souped up 38/44 HV loadings accidentally ending up in, say, a Smith & Wesson Model 64, something that's rated exclusively for 38 Special. the results would probably be less than optimal. Isn't that the phrase? Other than optimal. So just use your proper care and pay attention to what you're doing, like we're all supposed to be doing anyway, anytime we handle firearms and ammunition. If you're not comfortable doing a souped-up loading in 38 Special, then don't do it. Better to save that for the 357 Magnum case if you're not comfortable with this. So, to sum up, you can go mild or wild or anywhere in between. Go for your hollow points or anything with a flat nose. Follow the specs in the reloading manual. You do have one, don't you? And stay within them. And, of course, keep thy brass. Always remember to pick your brass up. But since you're probably a reloader or you're thinking about becoming a reloader, you probably already knew that anyway. Even if you're not yet a reloader, yes, still keep thy brass. You will be glad you did, especially if you're thinking about it. We'll take a short break and be back to talk about reloading the 357 Magnum cartridge. We ain't done yet, partners. Far from it. Stick around.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, partners and desperados, we're talking about loads for that thar lever-action rifle, just like back in the cowboy days. Yeehaw! Well, maybe not just like in the cowboy days. We've got much better powders now. But good news. Even with these modern powders and bullets, the spirit of Winnetou, Old Shatterhand, and the Lone Ranger are still with us. We just got through talking about reloading the 38 Special for the rifle. Now, we're going to talk about the 357 Magnum. Yeah! Okay, here we go. Just like I've got a couple of loads for 38 Special, likewise I've got a couple for 357 Magnum. They're not quite the same loadings as I use for 38 Special, of course. You might imagine that. Instead of mild and wild, it's more like medium and wild. For both of these, of course, I use the actual 357 Magnum case. The medium load uses 4.9 grains of bullseye, pushing a 158 grain lead round nose flat point. It's that same Lee 358, 158 RF style that I talked about previously in the 38 Special section. Feels a lot like shooting 38 Special plus P plus. So you know the old FBI loads for those of you who shot those? Now the wild load's a little stronger. Uses 13 grains of 2400 powder, pushing that same cast bullet. Well, there is a third loading that I use. It's a bit hotter and uses H110, but that's really a maximum load, and I don't really feel that comfortable sharing that particular load here. If you really want a tip-top max load, consult your reloading manuals. That's what I did. So we'll just stick with the wild load that I just told you about. That load, which is not quite full house, but pretty close, that's the one with the 13 grains of 2400. That load is just loads of fun to shoot. The 357 Magnum case, with its slightly increased capacity, is very amenable to even heavier projectiles. I got this cool mold I'm going to tell you about. It's a true Keith style. You don't see those very much anymore. 170 grain semi-wad cutter mold. It's a custom six cavity mold from Lee Precision. See, there's this guy out there named 357 Shooter over at the ammosmith.com forum. Hi, 357. He and I went on some of these molds. Well, okay, let's be more accurate here. Let's call it like it is. He set up the group buy, and he let me join the thing. Thanks, 357. Well, that 13-grain charge of 2400 powder works equally well with this 170-grain cast bullet, too. It's stout, no question about it. But it is within the limits. I was sure to check against Lyman's 49th edition, so I'm not worried one bit. Now, there are two questions I see getting asked a whole lot when it comes to 357 Magnum and rifles. Here they are. First, do I have to load differently for the rifle than I do for my handgun? Second, do I need to use Magnum primers for Magnum cartridges? For the first question, the answer is an emphatic no. You load for your rifle the same way you load for your handgun. It's the same specs, pressure, physical dimensions, all that. Just stick to the limits that the book tells you, and you'll be just fine. The answer to the second question, well, that's really, it depends. Now, before you start calling me a politician, I've got reasons for saying it that way. Specifically, it depends on which powder you use. If you're using any one of three powders, H110, W296, or Lil Gun, these are all Hodgdon or Winchester powders, then yes, use the Magnum primers. You'll need them. Anything else, including 2400, one of my favorites, I always stick with the regular primers. Technically, you can use Magnum primers with Bullseye or Tight Group, W231, 2400, Clays, and so on, as long as you're careful with your load. But you don't have to. Matter of fact, I never do that, because regular small primers are plentiful in my neck of the woods, so I simply don't have to. If you have any doubts whatsoever, then stick with regular primers unless the book specifically tells you to do otherwise. Oh, one thing I need to mention. Since we're talking about a tubular magazine, again, that's what the Rossi 92 has, be sure to fully seat your primers. This applies whether you're running .38 Special or .357 Magnum head stamps through your rifle, and it doesn't matter how stout your load is. You still need to check this. You know what that rule about the primer being just below flush with the case head? You definitely want to follow that rule with tubular magazines. You do not want high primers, and it's for the same reason that you don't do it with, say, an auto-loading .44 Magnum carbine like the Ruger Deerfield. It's easy to deal with this. Just use proper reloading technique, and that naturally includes inspecting each round you make for anything out of spec. I do this anyway, no matter what I'm loading or loading for, and you should too. It's time for a station ID break, and we'll be right back after these words.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network, so visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards, and PayPal accounts are not required. GunRightsRadio.com.
Now, some of you might be wondering, hey, how come there's so much focus on .38 Special and .357 Magnum here? Well, remember, we're talking about a rifle chambered for those two cartridges. Any .357 Magnum rated firearm is quite capable of, and will gladly, shoot any .38 Special cartridge. And that includes the so-called plus P plus loadings, the old FBI loadings. Even the stoutest plus P plus load is way below the pressure and power levels of the .357 Magnum cartridge. Which reminds me of something else here, by the way. Due to the powders used even in the .357 Magnum cartridge, there is no real ballistic benefit to going beyond a 16-inch barrel. Not really. We talked about this last episode. If there had been, I'd have done it. So, okay. We've been talking about hand-loading these two cartridges pretty much this entire episode. I'm always getting the question, what do you need to get started, and how much does it cost to get set up? Oh, and I also get asked the question, is it hard or dangerous? We'll take those questions one by one. First, is it dangerous? Well, it's no more dangerous than filling your car up with gasoline. You do it all the time, right? When's the last time you had an explosion or a fire when you were filling up your car at the gas station? Yeah, that's what I thought. Same for me, too. Just use proper care. Really meaning, don't do stupid things like, oh, I don't know, smoking, for example, when you're filling up. And nothing bad happens. It's the same with hand loading. Second, is it hard to do? Nope, not at all. But it does require that you pay attention to what you're doing. Tell you something about this, by the way. This is not hard to do. It can even be therapeutic. I find that even though I'm paying full attention, I get into this sort of zen state where everything is right in the world, and I'm remarkably relaxed while I'm reloading. I know, it sounds strange, but it's true. I've been known to do it to relax before going to bed. Yes, that actually works, and by the way, it's way better than counting sheep, I'll tell you. Way more productive. Third, what's needed to get started? Fourth, how much does it cost? Those two questions are related, so I'll treat them as one here. After getting asked this enough, I decided to just go ahead and make a shopping list. Just head over to my personal website, www.sanfranciscoliberalwithagun.com, and check out the videos section. In there, you'll find a subsection talking about how to get started reloading without breaking the bank. The shopping list is in there. You do not have to spend buckets full of money in order to get started handloading. If you're having trouble finding the list, though, well, just do an internet search, your Google, your Yahoo, AltaVista, whatever, for San Francisco Liberal with a Gun, and that should take you to the website. Also, feel free to check out the videos. Most of them show 38 Special as the example round being handloaded. There's also at least one in there with 45 Colt, too. That's another one of my favorite rounds. Now, is this handloading stuff actually something that the average person can do? Of course it is. In the words of President Barack Obama, yes, we can. Seriously, like my camera lady, Miss BHC, says, it's like needlepoint. You can do this. And folks, she's right. Not only will you have a lot of fun doing it, you'll also save money. You'll be able to tailor a load to your specific preferences, like I do. And most importantly, you'll never have to worry about ammo availability again. No longer will you be visiting the local ammo store wondering if they got your cartridge in stock. How many times have people been doing that over the last year? Doesn't matter anymore if you reload your own. You are rolling your own. Check out the videos on how to do it. I told you where before, sanfranciscoliberalwithagun.com. The videos are free downloads, and that's what they're there for. Go right ahead. That's the point. If you got Firefox, Conqueror, or Opera as web browsers, turns out I'm using the Ogg Theora video format, so they'll play right in the browser with no plugins needed. If you're still on Microsoft's or Apple's bundled browsers, I'm talking about Internet Explorer or Safari, then the VLC media player is what you'll want over at www.videoland.org. It's not only a free and open source video player, it's also probably the best general purpose media player out here. I'm serious. VLC media player is really good and I can recommend it. Again, www.videoland.org. So, to wrap everything up, hand loading the 38 Special and the 357 Magnum rounds is definitely worthy of your consideration. You'll be able to afford practicing a lot more. You'll increase your level of independence. And your lever gun will thank you for the regular practice that you're getting with it. Rossi 92s do like a lot of attention, and I am glad to be able to give mine all sorts of it. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until next time. Till then, safe shooting. Keep practicing. The more the better. And as always, thanks for listening.